Bob, basically, I was saying, you know, the way he's competing right now, his body language shows that he's not giving enough to prove that he's an NHL player. I had this discussion with Michael earlier. My reasoning behind that is, you know, if you watch the Maple Leafs play, if you've watched the last game the Maple Leafs play, and you knew nothing about hockey, and you watch Trevor Moore play, and you watch William Nylander play, Trevor Moore, when he's out there, is competing. He's playing with energy, which is something that William Nylander right now is not playing with enough of.
I'm probably at a bit of a disadvantage because I was so tied up with the World Juniors, I didn't pay that close attention to the Leafs. I did watch the Nashville game, and I did think that Matthews and Johnsson and Nylander, when their line was on the ice, I thought, especially in the first two periods when the Leafs were obviously much better than in the third period, I thought their line created a lot. I thought more often than not they were in the offensive zone. But in fairness to what you just said, Carlo, I did notice that it seemed to be a lot more of Johnsson and Matthews.
It was.
Than Nylander. There was no question of that. So, I mean, I don't know what the deal is other than what I said when he signed. And when in the first week or two, when everybody was breathlessly evaluating everything that he did, I'm on the phone here. Thanks. Some guy just came up to me and shook my hand in the airport, so he didn't catch the phone thing, but never mind.
This was his Bobby Mac time. Seriously, yeah. Like that's the way he looks at it. Oh my God,
he was starstruck, Bobby.
It's Bob McKenzie. Yeah. This is my only chance. Screw the phone. I'm going to talk to him.
Exactly. Anyways, in that first week or two when Nylander came back and we were all breathlessly evaluating, you know, how long is it going to take for him to get back? And I said at the time, you know what? Maybe he won't get back to where he was. Now you're calling him out for effort. Whatever the situation may be, when you miss as much time as a player misses like that, sometimes everything is just going to miss fire for the rest of the year. I'm not saying it will for him, you know, because 2 weeks from now we could be talking of him being on a hot streak.
I hope we do.
But the reality is you get to call him out for what you see as a lack of effort. Obviously, his productivity and his play is not where it needs to be. And what I'm suggesting and what I suggested is there's as much chance that it might not be as there is that it may be. And that's the nature of the beast when you sit out two months of the season.
By the way, where are you on your way to or from?
Going to NBC for a game tonight in Stamford, Connecticut, in studio.
Bob McKenzie, TSN Hockey Insider, joining us this morning, talking about the Maple Leafs. And let's bounce around a little bit here. World Junior, sure. Is it still Jack Hughes number one, Kaapo Kakko number two? What anything change?
Not really. Kakko was more noticeable at the World Juniors than Jack Hughes. Kakko played all the games. Jack Hughes missed three games with an injury. I didn't think Jack Hughes looked Jack Hughes-like until the last game. And even then, it's still hard for... I mean, Kakko had the... You know, he got the goal and the game-winning goal, the gold medal-winning goal, and he was effective in the tournament. But even so, it's still difficult for these 17-year-olds to really dominate or play at a high level at this tournament. And most of the scouts I talked to still have Hughes as the clear number one in this draft class. And as well as Kakko played, there are a lot of scouts who say, well, you know what? There are a bunch of other guys, including Vasily Podkolzin from Russia, who was in the tournament, and many guys who weren't. Dylan Cousins and Kirby Dach, two Western Hockey League players. Those guys are in the equation to push Kakko for number two. And there's a bunch of others. Matthew Boldy from the United States and some others. So, you know, Kakko can rightfully say he wants to set his sights on trying to eclipse Jack Hughes as the top prospect in this draft, but there are probably five or six guys who are saying that they could eclipse Kaapo Kakko as the number two prospect in this draft. So as much as Kakko could be looking ahead to Hughes, he may have to also look over his shoulder at the guys coming behind him.
So, Bob, as we talk about potential players that could be top picks in the NHL draft this coming summer, you know, it's the halfway point of the NHL season, and obviously this is where teams start to separate themselves from the pack of playoff contenders and between buyers and sellers. Based on the conversations you've had with people, has there been defined buyers and sellers when it comes to teams, in particular Ottawa, Philadelphia, if you talk about teams in the Eastern Conference, and in the Western Conference, L.A., St. Louis, Chicago?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because things can change fairly quickly in terms of that whole notion. I mean, right now the Chicago Blackhawks have been on a roll of late. I think they've won 7 of their last 11. And they're at least within a number of points of a playoff spot that they could reasonably say to themselves, hey, if we keep playing as well as we've been playing lately, and it's not a mirage, there's no guarantee that they will play that well. But if they can be as productive as they have been over the last 10 games, then maybe they're in a different spot come the deadline. But you're right, and I think some of the sellers got declared even earlier this year than we thought, because St. Louis has just not been able to get the kind of traction that it wanted to. Philadelphia has fired a coach, a general manager, going through, 7 goaltenders now. It's not happening.
And losers of 8 straight. Sorry to interrupt.
It certainly doesn't look good. So, yeah, there are more defined sellers a little earlier than the season. Same thing with what's happened with the L.A. Kings. And this isn't like even a recent, this isn't a January phenomena. This was almost a late November, early December phenomena for some of these teams. But you also have to be careful because the way the NHL standings are compressed and there's not a big difference between the teams on the playoff bubble and the teams that are off the mark. If you're a team like Chicago and you win 7 of 10, suddenly you're that 5 or 6 points out of a playoff spot, and maybe you'll never close that ground ever. You dare to dream, and so maybe alters your perspective a little in terms of how much you want to sell or how you would approach the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has some self-delusion, except maybe Ottawa and Philadelphia. I mean, those two teams are not going to take a run at anything. Let's talk about the Flyers, and obviously they're a disaster, but they have a couple of players that might garner some interest, a lot of interest. One of them is Wayne Simmonds. People talk about the Maple Leafs needing more toughness, but skill that can match up with the other skill. And then there is a defenseman, Radko Gudas, who Carlo has been sort of bigging up, saying that he would fit in really well with the Maple Leafs. His contract is not up at the end of this year, so he's not strictly a rental. Do you see those guys being made available?
That's a good question. They haven't made a determination yet on Simmonds. To see what the cost would be to bring him back, what they might get for him in the trade market. So those decisions are to be made. Gudas is a guy that, as you say, they've got under contract. I don't have his contract in front of me.
He's got 1 year left at $3.5 million.
1 year at $3.5 million. So, I'm sure if they get the right offer, they'll move him. But they also have they place some value on him because he can play top 4 minutes, although what I would call limited top 4 minutes, because of the nature of the defenseman. He's not going to give you a lot with the puck, but he does provide an element of physical presence that a lot of teams lack. But I'm not, and again, when the Leafs are looking for defensive help, keeping in mind that they may ultimately at some point have to replace Jake Gardiner here, I got to think they're going to be less inclined to get a Radko Gudas type of defenseman and more inclined to try and find the next Jake Gardiner or somebody who's got fits in more of the mold of the new age defenseman. I could be wrong on that. That's just an opinion. But, I mean, you want to, and I understand, and listen, Mike Babcock likes, somebody that can play a heavier game and a defense first guy. But if you're going to pick up guys with term, it's better to pick up guys with term who do a lot more with the puck and create a lot more with the on the offensive side of the game. But obviously, are able to defend as well.
Bob, you guys had some great discussion, or I don't think you were on it, sorry, on Insider Trading last night. There was some great discussion on Maple Leafs future contracts with Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews. And it brings up an interesting conundrum here where, one is waiting for the other. But if you look around the league, there's other players, other great restricted free agents that are in the same contract scenario. Yep. When you talk about Braden Point, Sebastian Aho, Mikko Rantanen, could these guys that I just mentioned have a direct effect on what Mitch Marner could potentially make?
Yes and no. I mean, yes, because the market's the market. And, you know, if Mikko Rantanen or Braden Point sign contracts that the Leafs look at and say, wow, look at that. He just signed for X number of years at X number of dollars, and it's way less than what Mitch Marner expects to get from the Toronto Maple Leafs, then you know damn well that the Leafs are going to say those are comparable.
Mm-hmm.
And they are. But the flip side of that is every situation's unique and everybody's got their own leverage and how they want to apply it. And so, I mean, you can, hey, the Leafs effectively did it with Nylander for the longest time. They said Pasternak was the comparable, and Nylander held out and got a little bit more than Pasternak. But in order to do that, you know, he had to sit out 2 months, and how's that working for him?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, not very well, but all of them, he's getting the money, so I guess you could say it is working out for him. But, you know, those are the types of decisions that individual players have to make, and everything's interrelated. So what Patrick Laine makes and what Mikko Rantanen makes and what Braden Point makes and all those guys impact guys like Marner and Matthews. But if you're Marner and Matthews and you've got a defined set of value for yourself, you could choose to ignore those other comparables and just use your leverage to try and get the best deal you can possibly get from the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Thanks, Bob. Go back to your adoring public now. And as always, we appreciate your time. And we always enjoy hearing what's inside your head as a TSN Hockey Insider.
All right. Thanks, guys.